worthy to be praised. Yours absolutely. You know, we're shifting this this message series from campfires to bonfires. I thought about, you know, Pastor Rich was bringing some wood out here, and I was thinking about how to build a bonfire in here, but I decided that probably wouldn't be a good idea. But he mentioned when he started this message, he asked this question: where is the first place fire is mentioned in the Bible? And of course, he reveals Genesis 3, and was talking about the flaming swords. But I want to have a different question for you. I want to ask you, where is the hottest fire mentioned in the Bible? The hottest fire. Some of you might say the fires of hell. That would be a wrong answer. I think the fires of hell are pretty uncomfortable and miserable, and I'm praying that a lot of people miss that. Jesus talks about the fires of hell three times in the Gospels, and it's a real place, and Jesus wants you to avoid that. I would like you to avoid that. How many know that you're avoiding it? Yeah, hallelujah. Let's not go there. Some of you who may have read the Bible a little bit deeper may say, well, there's a fire in Revelation 20 talking about the lake of fire. Anybody ever hear about that? The lake of fire is actually where hell and death gets picked up in the end and gets put into for all of eternity. And that sounds like a pretty miserable place to be too. And these fires, not that I'm really talking along these lines, but I mentioned these fires were never intended for people to be in. These fires were created to suffer Satan and the demons that rebelled in heaven. It was never meant for people. But how many know that there will be people that will be there, unfortunately? Because to avoid those places, you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can't just get there. You can't just hope you get there. And so I want to encourage you to seek Jesus out and receive salvation. It's a really easy thing. He paid the price for the wrath of God that's coming on the earth. See, sin had to be answered. And so this wrath is coming. But those who hold on to Jesus, we don't have that future. And we want to take as many people into the kingdom of God as we can, don't we? And so I'm going to propose that there's a different fire described in the Word of God that's far hotter than any of these fires. That this fire doesn't come to just punish. It comes to reveal. It comes to show Jesus. It burns far hotter than these fires of suffering. And I want us to connect here. I want to connect right here to this fire. And it's in 1 Corinthians 3:11. And this is what Paul writes about. He says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." This fire reveals Jesus. This fire reveals our motives. This fire is going to determine whether you're doing your own thing or you're following Jesus in the work that you're doing in your life. This fire is going to come and expose every work of faith, and everything else is going to disappear. This fire has the heat and the intensity to reveal the wonders of God. and his mercy and his goodness. And there is a day, say a day, a day. This day's coming that everyone will stand before the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. There's like four of us, my friend Kevin and Patty. They're shaking their head. Yeah, we're looking forward to that day. These are friends of mine from Kennedale. In fact, Kevin was like 3 weeks I moved to Texas. I met him. Crazy guy climbing up in a tree and trimming branches. And we didn't know that the Lord had something for us to do together. But we're on this journey. And I know there's many of us here. We're on this journey with Jesus. Please, somebody say amen. You know, we're not going to the shelf and picking Jesus off it. We're walking with him, right? Isn't that what this is supposed to be? And there's a day coming when we all living things, are going to stand before Jesus. And there's going to be a fire that's kindled. And it's going to be revealed. Are you with me? Or are you with something else? And those who are with him, there's going to be a fire that actually reveals and exposes every secret, every decision. Listen, that should put a smile on your face, not have you cringe. Because even the things we're doing that nobody else sees but he sees are going to get exposed on that day. We could end it right here. Hallelujah. There's a fire coming on a day not too long from here that everything you are, we are, is going to be exposed before all of creation. Are you ready for that? Amen. Would we like the Lord to start that fire in us today? There's another passage I want to read. John saw something. In Revelation 15, he says, I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire. And on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them. John has seen on this last day that every person who was overcoming the world, and you'll read in Revelations time and time again, the Lord says, for those who overcome. This isn't by well-wishing. This takes purpose. This takes energy. In fact, you ought to be feeling every day that you're going against the stream. There ought to be resistance to your life. In fact, you ought to have some battles in your life, because if you don't, I think what that really means is you're going with the world. If you're not experiencing any battles, if you're not experiencing any resistance, if life is just, oh, well, we're just going along and you're trying not to offend anybody, yeah, that's not a good place to be. Jesus was a master at offense. Oh, yeah. He would get right to the root of it to see who you are. And is God really the one that you're worshiping? And so John sees this scene when the overcomers, when those who have held on to Jesus are standing on this sea of glass. Isn't that incredible? I've tried to imagine that. This sea of glass and all this fire coming up around it. And the worshipers. And see, in Greek culture, when they would write about harps, except for this passage, it always was connected to sadness and sorrow. But here we see a scene where God is actually giving us praises, and there's instruments of worship, and there's celebration, and there's excitement. And this fire isn't about pain. This fire is about the praises and the worship of God. I'm glad that I'm at least excited in here. Is there anybody else? There's a day coming for us. It's coming for us. We're those who have overcome the world. And of course, this is talking about the tribulation and the times that are coming on the earth. I believe that we're right on the brink of it. I sense it. I sense that this year with Passover in Israel, I just sense there's going to be a major shift that happens in the world. I think that coupled with what they're saying, a once-in-a-lifetime event with this solar eclipse. It's going to be, this is ground zero right here. And I've been asking the Lord, what does it mean? And it feels like a tremendous shift that's about to take place. See, all of nature declares the glory of God. You may be asleep, but I could tell you, rocks and trees aren't. The planets aren't. They're singing in the heavenlies because of Jesus. You may not be singing, but they're singing all around us. And there's a declaration that something is on its way. There's a day that we're heading to. And I am so excited about it. And I believe it takes some preparation. I don't think we could just allow the world to just kind of push us around and to just go with the flow or make sure everybody gets along with everybody. That's not the Jesus I know. That's not the God I know. God is out fighting for us. He's bleeding for us. He's crying for us. He's calling to us. He's asking us to leave our way and follow his way. And so I think there's preparation. In fact, this bonfire metaphor that we're using today is really what we're doing here. Think about the campfires, if you've been a part of it, the campfires where we're, you know, people two or three or four or five get together during the week and we're talking about the Lord and praying for one another, hallelujah. But when we bring those campfires together into a bigger meeting, that's what is going on here. I'm going to talk a little bit about, in the few minutes I've got left, I'm going to talk about the importance of preparing for this because it does take preparation. In fact, there's a group of us, and I want to invite if people have sensed this burden to pray or have a prophetic gifting and you would like to join this team that meets on Saturdays here at 4 o'clock, we've been meeting here every week and we begin to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do in this service? What do you want to do in the bonfire? What do you want to do when we come together? What is it? Why did you create that for tomorrow? And we pray on Saturday. And we have some incredible insights on what the Lord is doing. In fact, I shared with some of our intercessors this past week, this prophetic conference I had an opportunity, I was invited to go to this week in Texas, to listen to some of the speakers actually see the same pictures that we're seeing here on Saturday and how the Spirit is releasing something for the body of Christ. And so we see and hear and we pray for you. And so if you would like to be a part of that, I want you to come see me at some point. I'd like to invite you to come and join with us because there's a group of people that meets here because we actually believe that God has designed today and every Sunday when we get together as a bonfire for a very specific reason. It's not just because you didn't have anything else to do. It's not because you're just filling the time. There's something that the Lord is doing here. It's not random that you're here, and it's not random that you're online with us today. I don't know where you are around the world, but there's something significant about you hearing this message today and about what's going on in the world. And there's something that happens in a bonfire that doesn't happen as a campfire. And the world sees something different. Now, I'm wearing green today, not just because, why? St. Patrick's Day. We kind of always kind of wear green. Colleen's maiden name is Donnelly, and Donnelly family was big in Ireland. And so I always seem to be wearing green on this day. But there's another reason to it, too. I laughed out loud. I laughed out loud when the Lord took me here for this message. I asked the Lord, I was researching, where was the largest bonfire ever recorded? Now, I'll give you three guesses what country it's in. You'll only need one. Ireland. A place called Lauren, a city called Lauren in Northern Ireland, 2 years ago, broke the record for the largest bonfire ever created. Do we have a picture of that? Can you see this? This structure is made out of pallets, 202 feet tall. It broke the record of 167 feet from somewhere else. But you could see the different colors in it. So the blue and the red were pallets that had to be designed for the load of a 20-story building. And so it was designed, it was engineered, and it was built. It took 10 months to raise the money to build this. So if you ever wonder what some countries were doing during COVID, this was one project that they were doing. And so the blue pallets and the red pallets were both designed to carry the load of a 20-story building. So it took them 10 months to raise the money for it. It took them 2 months to build it. And then the next picture, when they lit it on fire, it took 2 days to burn. Now that's a bonfire. I want you to think, it's important for you to get this. I want you to think about all of the work that went into building that. Now to the point where the entire world sees it. All right? You get that. The amount of time, the amount of money, the amount of effort to build a fire that not only Ireland saw, but now we're seeing it. I'm sure it's been viewed. You can Google this thing and you could watch it burn. It's just, I just wanted to use this one picture just to show you that they actually did light it on fire. And the amount of time, there's actually some water you could probably see over to the side. So when this thing finally collapsed, it didn't fall on any houses or anything. But my engineering mind was like, yeah, I'd like to really see what the inside of that. How did they build that? And what the entire community came together to put that together. It's important to understand that the bonfire experience that Bethel can have as great of an impact on the world as this does. And the reason why is because we've got the Spirit of God in us. Oh, I'm glad that there's two of us in here that have the Spirit of God in us. Listen, there's a fire in us, isn't there? And there should be. If not, please don't leave today until you come see me, because there's fire in me. I'll give it to you. There's a fire. Imagine if we all brought that fire together on a Sunday and to see what the Lord would want to do instead of expecting the worship team to light me on fire. Or to expect the pastor to preach me up out of the mud. Or to expect the community. Or to hope that there's good coffee. Hopefully something will put a smile on my face. Now listen, I know that there's days that we come to church and we're not all feeling up. And I'm glad for a body of believers. But that shouldn't be the pattern every week. This conference I was at, there was a guy speaking who was in the field of neurosurgery, or he was a neuroscientist, and he was describing one of the conditions of the body, and when he said it, I went, oh my goodness, he just perfectly diagnosed me. And the condition, you'll laugh, but the condition is PMS. Prophetic mood swings. Prophetic mood swings. And when I told Colleen that, she went, hallelujah, what's the medicine? What's the treatment for it? Where can I go buy? Can we enroll you at a place that could get you fixed from these dramatic mood swings? So look, I'm sensitive to the fact that we don't always come together and we're on like, you know, level 10. But that's a far cry from always seeing our church family having to bring the fire for you when you claim that you're a follower of Jesus. Imagine what would take place if we actually prepared to be together, to hear from the Lord together, to experience the fire together. Imagine what could happen. And so real quick, here's its main point. Bonfire success takes planning, possessions, and participation. If we put more energy into this, the effect is going to be far greater than what we're doing today. So here's the grow piece. This planning, Leviticus 1:7, the sons of Aaron, the priest, are to put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. When God was teaching Israel how to bring worship and the planning of it, there was a group of people called the Levites. They were to prepare for it. There's, for us, there's confession and praise. There's the blood and the fire. Imagine if instead of waiting to get here on Sunday, you actually started to talk with the Lord Saturday night. And you begin to get your heart right to meet with him. Imagine if before you closed your eyes on Saturday, you just began to thank the Lord for all the blessings and the goodness of your life. Listen, please, if you're not doing it, that's okay, but just please say amen. Yeah, amen. There's something to it. As we prepare, as we go to arrange things, listen, there's going to be life that takes place here that God has ordered for this church. And I am here to tell you, if we don't do it, God will visit another place. I have seen it. And I want the Lord to be here. I want him to be honored here. And if we become on fire, imagine the people that walk in to meet Jesus when they see that fire in you and in I. And so let's prepare. Let's have some planning. See, I've already planned that I'm going to be in church next week. I've already planned it. I'm not going to wait till Friday to determine if I've got time to come together. It's getting really quiet in here. I've already decided that that's where I'm going to be. And I've decided that my whole life. How about possessions? 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. To be a bonfire investor. See, your heart goes where your money goes. Amen. It's not the other way around. I had a very wealthy man in Annapolis. At the time, he owned the largest yacht on the East Coast, 88 feet. And he said to me, he goes, listen, I want to show you my new boat. And so I had to go to the yacht club first. We had lunch, and I had no idea what I was about to experience. And I walk in, and his three full-time crew members that lived on the boat, I met first, and I saw this massive thing. And I asked the question, I said, how much fuel do you spend on this thing? He said, well, last year we spent $100,000 in gas. I went, you know what I'm thinking? I'm a pastor. I'm thinking, And so, but I started talking to him about investing in the kingdom, and he just kind of, and I says, you know what? If you give me your checkbook in 5 minutes, I will tell you exactly what you worship. And his mouth and his head just dropped. In the 20 years that I've ministered with him, when I left Annapolis, he wept because of the presence of God that he felt for me. But he never did say yes to the Lord. I wonder about you. You hear us, we talk about investing here at Bethel, and this really isn't a message about money, it's just a message about planning and preparing. But I wonder if you presented your checkbook, what it would show that you really worship. And the good news is, you can change that if it's not the Lord. You can change that today. Because there's a day coming when everything that we have done stands before the Lord. and we have to give an account for it. Participation, this is the last piece of this. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Say the day.
Day.
Say the day.
Day.
Say the day.
Day.
It's approaching. It's coming. What should we be doing knowing that that day is coming? This is a great time to take inventory. I don't want you to be found standing in that fire and seeing everything removed, and you have nothing to show for your life. I want you to have the other effect. I want you to stand in that fire and things that you didn't even see about yourself just explode, and the Lord smile and he goes, look what you've done. I want you to have that experience. And so it takes planning. It takes possessions. It takes participation to create a bonfire that gives God such glory that the world will see it. I'd like you to be a part of that. I think the Lord has that for Bethel. And I think we can move in it together. This last passage is in our go piece. It really is talking about our attitude. Psalm 63, 1 through 3. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Hallelujah. Lord, we're coming, Lord, to worship and to magnify you. We're coming together to give you praise. Lord, I can't wait until I'm back together again with your people. Lord, we just give you praise and your glory. Imagine if we prepared that for the Lord. If our worship team can come up here, we're gonna kind of wrap this up. Imagine if we were all in with Jesus. Imagine what could happen. Imagine when the worship team hits the first note that we're dancing and we're jumping and we're praising and we're just shouting the glories of God. Imagine that we have done the preparation work during the week to come together for a bonfire that the world needs to see. They need to see it. And I believe the Lord wants to show us and to show it through us for the world. Let's just stand. I've been asking the Lord for several days if a fire could just begin to grow and burn through this place. How many could trust the Lord to say, Lord, let that fire start in me right now? Reveal everything that is not of you. I'd rather deal with it now than deal with it there. How many would like to have this fire just begin to burn in you right now? Just lifting up your hand to him. Lord, I'm just praying and I'm releasing, oh God, the fires of God in this place. Lord, those who are online who are reaching out their hand to me right now, I just reach back to them and let the fire of God fall on them. Let it begin to burn. Let it begin to burn to reveal every decision of faith and to every foolish act, everything that we're investing our lives in that have no meaning in the kingdom of God. Let it be revealed. Lord, I just pray that there'd be a fire so hot, Lord, that the world would see something going on here in Fort Worth. There'd be the sound of it. There'd be the heat of it. There'd be the flames. There'd be the light of it. Lord, that we give you glory. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness. Amen.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.